say that in Rebbe school, they tell the following rule. And that is that you're not allowed to repeat the same joke within a year. And you're not allowed to repeat the same story within a half a year. Stories that Talmidim remember less. When it comes to saying a Dvar Torah, then you can repeat the same Dvar Torah in that Dvar Torah. So I have to apologize to the Shana Bet that one of the ideas that I want to discuss tonight is one of the most favorite ideas that I have. It's the fire of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And I'm going to repeat some ideas that I've said in previous years. Mela I say over the Torah, but even the jokes are going to be the same, so that if you guys can leave. Okay. Mirtz Hashem, shortly, the skies of Eretz Yisrael will be lit up with fire. There's no source for this. There's no source that one is supposed to have a madura, a bonfire, on Lag BaOmer. It's even a question where it came from. But there's something about fire. There's something about fire in Lag BaOmer. Question number one, what is it? Number two, in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, Lag BaOmer is referred to as Hilula D'Rashbi. We all know that it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yard site. And it's referred to as a Hilula. Anybody know what Hilula means, literally? What is the translation of that Aramaic word? Does anybody know? So we would think that it's yard site, because it's the Yartzei of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. In fact, though, the word means something else entirely. Hilula means a wedding. The Gemara in Ksuvis in the Halachos of Wedding uses the expression Hilula. Hilula de Rashbi, the wedding of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What does that mean? But not only is that problematic, what does it mean, the wedding of Rashbi? But it's also difficult to understand that we're celebrating a yard site in the way Rashbi's yard site is celebrated. The Gemara in Nedarim tells us that Yom Shemeis Bo Aviv Orabo is a day that's a fast day. In fact, the whole idea in Chassidus of celebrating a yard site really starts with this, with Hilula de Rashbi. It's all a totsah, an outgrowth of that phenomenon. Why? Yom Shemeis Tzadik is a time of tshuva. It's not a hilula. It's not a wedding. Question number two. Question number three is, what is it about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that makes his yard site the most significant yard site of the entire Jewish calendar? So three questions. What's with the fires? Why is it called Hilula? And what is it about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that makes Lag BaOmer so important that his yard site is the pinnacle of all? We all know the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis and Beis. Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. They died in these days. Ironically, the yard site of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who's one of his last Talmidim, is the turning point. When we go from the Avelus, as I was walking out, one of the Talmidim noticed that Rabino already cut off his beard right before Lag BaOmer, the right time. The moment in which the yard site of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comes, boom. It all stops. Says the Gemara, after Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim passed away, Rabbi Akiva went to the south, and he taught five Talmidim. And those Talmidim, Vehema Emidu Teira Ba'isasha, those were the Talmidim that kept Torah going. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir. So something that extremely dramatic happens in Rabbi Akiva's lifetime? So many things, but one particular thing that's so important for us to understand in Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Akiva, on a certain level, I'm going to say something sharp, Rabbi Akiva on a certain level fails. Not necessarily his fault, but his project fails. All of his Talmidim die. There's a failure of the Mesorah. And there's a crisis. And somehow, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents the reignition of Rabbi Akiva's Mesorah. In fact, the Gemara in Gittin Adav Samach Zayin Amid Aleph says something amazing. It gives all the praises of many of the different Tanoim. Rabbi Akiva gets one of the ultimate praises, which we're going to come back to. He was an Otzer Blum. Rabbi Akiva is the treasure of Torah. There's no treasure of Torah like Rabbi Akiva. Of course, we know, just started at age 40. But with Siyata Dishmai, Rabbi Akiva exceeded everybody else in being an Otzer of Torah. Then the Gemara describes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's special midah. The Gemara says, Toichin harbe, he ground a lot, umatza kima, and he came out with a little. And then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says something fascinating. Shanu midaisai, repeat, he says to his Talmidim, what I taught you. Shemidaisai trumas mimidos shel Rabbi Akiva. Because that is the essence of Rabbi Akiva. So here we see this idea that we mentioned, that Rashbi represents the Hamshacha, the continuation of Rabbi Akiva. How? In fact, they seem to be opposites. And what we're going to argue for the next 10 minutes is that if you examine the Torah and the Mesorah of Rabbi Akiva, and if you examine the same thing in Rashbi, you'll come to almost opposite and conflicting directions. Everybody knows that Rabbi Akiva woke up a little bit later than we woke up, at age 40. The Gemara tells us in Brachos on Samach Aleph on the Beis that Rabbi Akiva saw water piercing through a stone. And he said, if water could pierce through a stone, then my heart can surely accept the words of the Torah. What's the metaphor? Water breaking through a stone. What you sing in Miron? Ma mikveh metares hatmeim. Rabbi Akiva again emphasizes the metaphor of water. Rabbi Akiva in Brachos as well says, excuse me, the first Mar Machon was Avastar of Nasan, the water piercing through the stone. Brachos Samach Aleph on the Beis, Shmuel Baruch Hashem's keeping notes. Brachos Samach Aleph on the Beis says the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva responds to the Xeros, the decrees of the Romans, and he says, I can't live without Torah. Why? Because I feel that my life is like a fish outside of water. Rabbi Akiva again with the metaphor of water. Torah is referred to in two different metaphors at the end of Sefer Dvarim. Yaroif kamotar likhi, it's like matar. It's like the rain. And then there's another metaphor. Eish dos. Torah is also fire. How's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai described? See where we're going with the bonfires. How's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai described in the beautiful piyut that the Ben Ish Chai wrote? Eish dos hashara. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents the fire of Torah. Or muflamala, this high and beautiful light. And of course, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai leaves the cave, he walks out and he sees someone not involved in Torah. And what happens? What's the result? They burn up. So Rabbi Akiva is the Bechina of Mayim, and Rashbi is the Bechina of Eish. Two conflicting elements. Two conflicting elements. Water nurtures. Water plants. it creates sustenance in the world. Water starts from a pie and searches for the lowest point. Fire doesn't nurture. It starts from the lowest point and it searches for the highest. Teiras Hamayim is a Teiras Hanigle. The Torah of Halacha is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us from up on high, and it waters and it nurtures our daily lives. From the moment that we wake up, and all parts of our lives, everything, every part of the human existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a message, Yarov Kamatar Lichti, how we're supposed to nurture our lives. The Teiras HaNister, the Teiras HaKabbalah, the Teiras HaEsh, the Teiras Rashbi is the Torah that aspires for something higher and greater. You have to be careful how you use it. You don't play with fire. The Messiah that I had from my Rabbein is that even though the Teiras HaKabbalah searches for the highest point, that is the highest of Madregas, at the end of the day when there's a conflict between the Halacha and Kabbalah, what wins? The halacha, mayim, extinguishes esh. Two themes of Torah, esh das, yaroiv kamotar. You have to be careful how you use both of them. You can't mix them up. You need hadracha from your great rabbein. You know, they say that there was once a fellow who came into a store, he's looking to buy a parrot. The owner told him, this parrot's $100, this parrot's $200. He said, this one's $1,000. He said, why is it so much more expensive? He said, this parrot speaks both languages. Speaks both Hebrew and English. So he said, really? He said, yeah, if you pull the right leg, it speaks in Hebrew. You pull the left leg, it speaks in English. So he said, what if you pull both legs at once? So the parrot said, Ani fall ala ritzpa, imbecile. Rabosai, if you try to pull both at once, at the end of the day, it's not going to work. It requires a lot of chachma. How to navigate the Teiras HaKabbalah and the Teiras HaLacha, something that requires a lot of hadracha. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lives in a time of crisis. It's just after the Churban. Shchinta is Bigalusa. Rabbi Akiva has lost 24,000 Talmidim because something went wrong in the process of the Teiras Hamayim. The nurturing of Rabbi Akiva's Teiras Hanigla, somehow didn't work. A lot of elements have to combine to effectively create that process of planting. And Am Yisrael is in a place of shiflus. He runs away. He escapes. He escapes for the cave. He runs away. Klal Yisrael needs to re-nurture itself in that time of crisis. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is megala something else. What he's megala is that in a time of pain and distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter how far a Jew feels he is, there's a spark, there's a fire, there's a Teiras HaNistar that speaks to every Jew where he tries to go higher and higher and almost escape his corporeal reality to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not logical, it's not scientific, it's not the Teiras HaNigla where there's a logical system that we understand in this world. There's a magic of the Teiras HaKabbalah and the Teiras HaNistar. This is almost a tension, at first glance, a tension between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But of course, now we begin to understand what's going on in Lag BaOmer. Says the Ramak, what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Hilula represents is the idea that Rashbi doesn't live in this world. Rashbi is the desire to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come higher and higher and higher. And therefore, the Ptira of Rashim Bar Yochai is the first Ptira which is actually a celebration. It's a hilula, it's a wedding. What is that wedding? It's the wedding of the rejoining of the neshama to the Kisei HaKavod. The tzaddik that represents the Tairas HaNigla represents halacha, then there's a sense of loss. There's avelus, says the Gemara Nedarim, because there isn't that tzaddik to guide and nurture us in this world. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents the idea that a Jew could entirely escape this world, no matter what Churban, no matter what is going on. He could go into a cave and hide himself, and he could light sparks that are going to stay forever, that one day a million people are going to be dancing by his kever. 14 years he sat alone with his son in a cave. And he created a spark that ignites and continues to ignite and continues to ignite. That's why it's called a hilula. And of course, now we begin to understand why Dafka Rashbi. Rashbi tells us that there are times when we feel that our planting is not working, that there's something else that we could tap into. That's the passion of Torah. And that's what happens in Miron. You saw it a couple weeks ago, and it's just amplified on Sunday and Monday. And that is that all Jews of all walks of life are somehow drawn to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Because what happens is there are many, many different approaches, many different mesorahs of how to plant in Klal Yisrael. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, nahara nahara upashtei. There are different rivers and there are different directions and there are different approaches. Very different styles and very different yeshivas in chassidus. But that's in the Teres HaNigla. In the Teres HaNister, every single Jew is the same. When you go to Miron, it's not Talmidei Chachamim that are sitting up in the front. It's not even like the Simchas Beis HaShoev over here, in the Beis HaMikdash, where only the Tzaddikim dance. Every single Jew is exactly the same. Because every single one of us has a Chelek Elokam Mimal, and every one of us has that spark of a Jewish neshama. Oh. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he says the following. Shanu midosai, we quoted earlier. My Talmidim, I beg you to learn what I've taught. Shemidosai trumos mitrumos shel Rabbi Akiva. Because it's the essence of Rabbi Akiva. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you think that this is so different? That the Teiras HaEsh and the Teiras HaMayim are two opposite and conflicting things? No! At different times in our history, at different times of a Jewish individual's development, there are times that he taps into the Koyach HaMayim and there are times he taps into the Koyach HaEsh. And in our time, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you should know in the Teiras HaEsh, I'm giving you over the essence of Rabbi Akiva. In scary times, in challenging times, one needs to tap into that Torah Sa'esh, the spark. Rabosai, we do live in scary times, but also in Golis. Baruch Hashem, some Talmidim came to escape to a cave as well. You know, they say that there was a fellow who was quite depressed. His friend saw him and said to him, "You look really, really down." Said to him, "Yeah, I'm really in a bad place." He said, "I'm in such a bad place. Last night, I called a suicide hotline. But you got to hear what happened." He said, "When I got through, the fellow on the other line said, 'You've reached the suicide hotline in Pakistan.'" He said, "It was even outsourced. The suicide hotline is outsourced to Pakistan." So, oh my goodness. He says, "But it gets worse." He said, I told the guy, I'm thinking of killing myself." And the fellow got all excited. And he said, "Wow, do you know how to drive a truck?" I told this joke last year before Donald Trump was president. Kal v'chomer ben beno shel kal v'chomer the world is even a scarier place. But it's not only in the Olam HaGashmi, it's also in the Olam HaRuchani as well. The challenges that we're in have forced us into a different type of corner. What worked as a standard way of teaching Talmidim, particularly Talmidim from the United States, doesn't work anymore. Or it's harder. But not only in the general perspective of Klal Yisrael, there are going to be times in your life, and there are times, whether you're Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, or you're a 60-year-old, there are times that the Teiras Hamayim is going to nourish your soul, and then there are times you need to tap into that Koach HaEsh of Rashbi, the Torah Sanistar, Sifrei Chasidus. And so Rabosai, what emerges is three points that are Halacha L'maisa, or if you will, Kabbalah L'maisa. First point is that emerges from this Yisod about the Torah of Rashbi and the Torah of Rabbi Akiva is on Lag BaOmer. What every single one of us needs to celebrate is the spark inside of us. And even more importantly, is the spark of the neshama of every Jew. Just like there are no lines and there are no divisions in Miron, every Jew is exactly the same. It's not even a time of teaching Torah where there's a Rebbe and there are Talmidim. It's all of Klal Yisrael. Exactly the same, exactly equal. Shomer Shabbos, Chilonim, Chasidim, Misnagdim. That means that the time of Lag BaOmer is a time for us to ask ourselves whether we really, really appreciate the neshama of every Jew around us. And that's not easy. It's not easy when you have a different shita of Teiras Hamayim. That's not easy when you have a different approach in the Teiras Hanigla. That's not easy when you have a different style, when you have a different derech. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai demands of us is to go above and beyond that. To realize that there's something higher and above that actually makes us exactly the same. That's number one. The second yesod is that Torah HaSod is all about this bechina of Eish, which could be destructive on the one hand, but on the other hand, the power of fire is infinite. Unlike water, which is absolutely finite, there's one sif in Shulchan Aruch that speaks to a particular part of your life. There's one mesechta that you learn that speaks to another part of your life. That's the Torah's halacha. It's finite. Water is finite. You can't stretch water more than its volume. Fire is the exact opposite. Fire has a power from a small spark to create an inferno. And that's exactly what those bonfires in Miron represent. It represents that ability, what Rabbi Shimon and his son did in that cave, to create something that perpetuates and perpetuates and perpetuates long after the Teiras Hamayim is gone. And that means in our lives, we have to find a place where we could create a spark that will ultimately create an inferno. Everybody knows Hatzalah. You've all heard of Hatzalah. I remember as a child when Hatzalah started. Hatzalah started by a few people in Brooklyn who decided that the ambulances weren't coming on time on Shabbos. It started on Shabbos. And they were going to be a volunteer group of a few guys within a few blocks that are going to do what they can on Shabbos to help people who are in a state of emergency. It started in a couple of blocks in Brooklyn. There isn't a Jew in the world today who doesn't know what Hatzalah is. I remember some of these men. They were like you and I. But if you have a determination, if you have a fire, if you have a commitment, and you see something in Klal Yisrael, something that needs to be filled, then you could be a hamshacha, continuation of the otzer bloom of Rabbi Akiva, of everything that Rabbi Akiva represents. The same applies in the world of Torah. One of my great rabbeim, Rabbi Reichman Shlita, says that there are three men who changed America, Torah Jewry in America entirely. And they were Rav Soloveitchik, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rav Aaron Kotler. Interestingly, he didn't put the list great posek like Rav Moshe Feinstein's atzah. He said these three men. Each one of them had a spark inside of them. Lubavitcher Rebbe decided that he's going to take the awesome bren, the fire of the Mesorah of Lubavitch, of six previous Rebbes, which was entirely born out of a particular condition in Russia and the Ukraine, and he was determined to bring it to every Jew in the United States, no matter where, and Canada, and the entire world, no matter where they are, speaking of the entire world. Lubavitch was so determined, I don't know why they did this, but they say that they even went to the North Pole, and there's a Tanya there, sitting on the North Pole. They buried a Tanya in the North Pole, that's what they say. The Rebbe was determined that everywhere in the world, I would put a Tanakh there first, but okay. But the Rebbe was determined, the Rebbe was Zechrona Livracha, of course, emphasis on Zechrona Livracha, was determined to bring to every place in the world, the Mesorah of Lubavitch. And he started just with a few chassidim. Just a few. And what started as a desire of a spark became an inferno. Rabbi Reichman's a Talmud of the Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav. He said the Rav had a determination that there were American boys, like you, are going to go to college. And he said, I'm going to take the Mesorah of Rav Chaim, the ultimate of Iyun HaTorah, and I'm going to turn college boys into Lamdonim. Everybody thought he was crazy. And now you have generations of generations of people who have advanced degrees who are also Talmidei Chachamim. Where did it start from? It was a tiny spark. They could have been all written off, all these college boys. And how many college, advanced college degrees are there now in the United States of people who are real Talmidei Chacham? A spark. And finally, Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal. My brother may be well is one of the thousands and thousands. My brother's a Roish Chabur in Lakewood. You know how many Chaburas there are in Lakewood? There are, I think, 200 or 300 Chaburas, Bli Ayin Hara, in Lakewood. Rav Aaron Kotler has been dead for over 50 years now. And my brother says he feels that Rav Aaron Zechusa Yogan Elenu is his Rosh Yeshiva. He still feels him. He never met him. He passed away 25 years before he was born. 20, 15, before he was born. Rav Aaron started with 10 guys. You know how he started with 10 guys and that became a yeshiva that now has over 5,000 people being Omel Batorah. And don't let anybody tell you that the majority of them aren't Amelim Batorah. I know people who sit and measure out their milk, mothers who measure out the milk for their children so that their husbands could go and sit and learn Torah day and night. Rav Aaron started with 10 people. I mentioned the Talmidim in the past that when he went to register the Yeshiva of Lakewood, he took with him the fellow, I don't know who his name is, was the executive director, and it was going to be registered as a rabbinical college. And Rav Aaron went with him. So the WASP, the bureaucrat who was in charge of registering the yeshiva, he said, okay, in what way are you a rabbinical college? So the executive director said, well, we train rabbis, teach them how to teach Talmud, We have a beautiful tradition that's almost been entirely snuffed out with the Holocaust. Rav Aaron barely spoke any English. He passed away barely knowing any English. He was in America for about 20 years. Rav Aaron grabbed him by the shirt sleeve, I told the Talmidim in the past, and he said to him in Yiddish, in a heavy Lithuanian accent, Vazhok shter, what are you saying? So he said to him, Rebbe Chzogem, pardon, I love Yiddish, Rebbe Chzogem, as in unzere yeshiva, vet melamed zayn, so zayn rabbonim, un mechanchim, that we're, in our yeshiva, we're going to teach them to be rabbis and Jewish educators. Rav Aaron got in his face, and Rav Aaron said, Nein, Zogem Teira Lishma. No, tell him Torah Lishma. Benji's grandfather wrote a whole sefer on Torah Lishma. Said, no, tell him Torah Lishma. So now he's in a quandary. He's in a quandary. What's he gonna say to him now? So he says, the rabbi wants me to emphasize, our dean wants me to emphasize, that in order to be able to be effective teachers and rabbis, that one needs to have a desire to learn the material because you really want to know the material. Not to go through college just to be Yotze Zayin. You got to really want it. Rav Aaron grabs him again. He says, Vazhok shtev. And he says, tells him again, Yiddish, I'll spare you this time. He says, I'll tell it. He says to him what he told him. He says, Name! Zogem Teir Lishma. This went back and forth three or four times. It was Rav Aaron's determination that the Torah Lishma of Kletsk remain. And when a person has that determination, when they have that desire, when they have that spark could become an inferno. How many of us have that? Torah Mate Eolam. When I say Torah, I don't only mean learning Gemara. I mean the life of a Jew. Mate Eolam. What's going to be with our passive generation? Where we live our lives as simply reactive Jews. So lesson Kabbalah Lamaisa number one is about appreciating every Jew. Number two is to realize, Rashbi reminds us, the power of a spark. And number three, let's go back to Lashon HaGemara. What did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what was his special midah? The one who has the schus of Torah Hanistar, contrasted to his great Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva represents the treasure of Torah. The Gemara then goes on to say in a few places in Shas that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the shir of Rabbi Akiva. Otzer Blum. Again, what did the Gemara in Gittin Samach Zayin Amid Aleph say? What's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's special midah? Tochein Harbe? He ground a lot, umatza kima, and he took out a little. He ground a lot, and he took out a little. And then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai adds, and you should know that that midah of mine is the essence of Rabbi Akiva. How do you grind? Tension. You press against the weeds. How do you create fire? Tension. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the way in which we are going to preserve Torah is not by simply continuing on with a scientific or logical presentation of Torah. But rather it's going to be the Torah Sa'esh. Torah Sa'esh doesn't only mean the Torah of Kabbalah, but the Torah Sa'esh means learning and living with a fire. Learning and living with a fire. Shemidosai trumos mi trumos shir Rabbi Akiva. You are blown away by the genius of Rabbi Akiva. His Talmidim tried to imitate the genius of Rabbi Akiva, and they fell because each one of them was trying to perform and achieve. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, the essence of Rabbi Akiva, you never saw that internal fire, or you never appreciated that internal fire of Rabbi Akiva. You weren't with him when he was 40 and watching the water break through the stone. The essence of Rabbi Akiva, the essence of the Tairas HaEsh, comes from the Tairas HaMayim. Rabbi Akiva is really a Taruvos, a mixture of both Esh and Mayim. And he says, Rabosai, You got to pound. You got to grind. You got to light up with a fire. It's not enough to experience Avodas Hashem and Torah in an intellectual way. It has to be done with a passion, with attention, with a push, with a grind. And it doesn't matter, hafuch, if you grind a lot and you come out with a little, that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva started with. The exact same tension. I have a Rebbe who's not well. He doesn't say the story anymore. So it's my responsibility to say the story. Rabbi Braunschweig may have a refuah shleima. We once learning a ksais with him. He said, I want to tell you a story about the ksos hachoshen. He said, there was a ksos hachoshen that I was learning, and I met Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum, Zatzal. Passed away, the Rosh Yeshiva Mir passed away 5-6 years ago. By the way, for those of you who have your phones with you, it's not a test. After Ma'ariv, or if we have time before Ma'ariv, you have my permission up until Ma'ariv and then to shut off your phone. I want you to take a look, put into your phone the following Google search. Rabbi Birnbaum and Rabbi Baxt. You will see something so special. Two massive Talmidei Chachamim sitting in a wedding on a YouTube video. And the passion, and they're fighting in Torah. In the middle of a wedding, they're sitting at a wedding table. You got to see it. Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum represented that fire of Torah. So Rabbi Braunschweig said he was discussing a Ketzos HaChoshen with Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum, and they had a disagreement. And Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum said something very sharp to him. He said, I'm positive that I'm right about this Ketzos. He said, Rabbi Abba, I'm not always positive. But now I'm positive I'm right. Rabbi Braunschweig was very taken aback. He said, I'll explain to you why, said Rabbi Shmuel. This ktsais I learned in Shanghai. Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum escaped with the Bachrim from the inferno of the Nazis to Japan with some of the Bachrim in Mir Yeshiva. Many of his family and Rabbi Baxt's family were killed by the Nazis, Al Kiddush Hashem. There was one ktsais in Shanghai. One ksais. That ksos, there was a waiting list. The boys would sign up 3 days in advance, and you got it for 20 minutes. The Rosh Yeshiva Reb Chaim Shmulevitz had set over a ksos. Everybody was clamoring for 20 minutes of that ksos. Said Reb Shmuel, I got it about 1 in the morning. That was my slot. 20 minutes with it. By the way, that ktsos hachoshen, there's another legend about that same ktsos. That same ktsos slowly began to wear because it was being used literally 24/7. And you know how many Magidei Shurim came out of that ktsos? How much Torah came out of that one ktsos in Shanghai? And it began to wear and again to wear. The first page of the ktsos was torn off and they lost it. Imagine how terrible the boy whose turn it was when it disappeared. Legend has it that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who was a Gaon Atzum, wrote that first page again, Baal Peh. That's the legend that Reb Chaim wrote out. And Reb Yehuda Shmulevitz, who's the Menahel of Landers, has that copy. And he sold it on eBay for a lot of money. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz wrote that page. Says Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, Ashrecha Yisrael, that a Jew would pay a lot of money to support a lot of Torah just to have that handwritten page from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Says Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, that ktsos happens to be the ktsos that we're discussing right now. And I prepared 4 days in advance, chazering over the way Reb Chaim said it in Shir, chazering over the Rajba and the Tesis, and I anticipated he was going to discuss this Gemara and that Gemara and that Gemara, and I had it for those 20 minutes, those precious 20 minutes until I had to give it to my friend. Rabosa, how terrible it is that we have a copy machine. How terrible. On the other hand, you'll be able to see Rav Gleib Bakst and Rav Shmuel Birnbaum fighting and learning. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that's necessary. He says that amelus, that fire, that passion, that's how you get to Amita Shel Torah. As always up for Rashbi. Rashbi says, you want to know the essence of Rabbi Akiva, which his Talmidim didn't get. It's Toichen Harbe. The process of Tchina, of grinding, requires a fire. And again, we're not only talking about grinding in Amelus Batorah and in Gemara Rashi Tosis. Amelus Batorah becomes a model for us in terms of an absolute commitment to make sure that the Torah Asa'esh continues. But that requires a desire for real spark. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Dishmaya to be Zoche and Lag Ba'omer to Torah Asa'esh, to be able to have the appropriate power and spark to be mamshich the awesome Masorah that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us.